When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP. I am your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the Tuesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 12, the special Tuesday night recap. We're not always going to be here on a Tuesday night, but when Spicy V says, Donna, we come like we're called. And so we are here. We're going to talk about this episode of the show. And with me to talk about it, it's Maggie. How are you doing, Maggie?
Hi, Taryn. I'm great. I'm excited. I feel like there's some fun stuff to talk about right now. It was less than a week ago that me and you and Puya were here being like, is there going to be anything to talk about? And there's a lot to talk about. So obviously a lot more questions than usually what we have going on, but I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Also with us tonight is Scally. How are you doing, Scally?
Ooh, hello, hello. So sad to have missed this little last meetup, but Taryn, I was just trying to distance our bromance, but very next pod, walked that plan right back. Had to get back in here.
Yes, yes. You won't catch me fist bumping him, but Puya is here tonight. How you doing, Puya? Oh, he is.
I'm doing good. Always down for a little cheeky fist bump. It's wild that we met less than a week ago and we're here once again, and it just feels like a whole different season suddenly.
Yeah.
What a wild week. Cause the last we spoke, we were like, all right, if this person doesn't win HOH, it's all over. That person's off the block now. So wild stuff being had in the BB Can house.
Yes. Spicy V, like many potentially disastrous HOHs before her, has truly found her inner Kyle Moore and taken a very easy HOH reign. And maybe also took some inspiration from not the Kyle Moore from her season, but just her season in general. As the HOH, just kind of feeling like,
oh, we could, couldn't we?
We could, couldn't we? Very reminiscent of season 9 when they changed their minds every 5 hours. Maybe we shouldn't be too surprised.
And for why? Like, did we ever figure it out? Like, did we ever really figure it out?
There's some trickery going on. I think there's it's a very tricky situation to really figure out, because it's, I think, a number of things that caused this to happen. And in the episode, it kind of went fast. It was all of a sudden, yeah, there was a fist bump, and then all of a sudden it felt like, okay, now it's happening. Dennis, how do we get you to do the veto? And like half the episode was spent on Dennis using the veto or not. It's like Dennis was always using the veto. Like, we didn't have to spend half the episode on this when there's so much more interesting stuff to be watching.
I think they're trying to go all in on Dennis because he's going to win competitions. So they're like, audience, this is the guy who's going to win some competitions. Like, what's he going to do? You know,
perhaps. But the intrigue here is why? Why did Spicy V turn on Donna? And I think it's confusing because of a few different things. One is that there's not really one solid thing that made it happen. I think it was a lot of different things combining. And then two, I think that there are maybe some things that we are intentionally being intentionally being avoided by the show, by the dailies that are cutting around conversations and topics. And then certainly the episodes then feel even more disjointed in terms of motivation, because they're hiding even more of that in the episodes. So we'll get into that. But I think the basics, the very basics of it are that just Donna got caught in a sub-alliance of sorts, the East Coast mm-hmm. Alliance, after kind of being the person within the women's alliance that was like, hey, none of you make any strategic decisions without running it by me, okay? Because I'm the strategy one, okay? And then all of a sudden she's caught in this alliance, and even after getting caught, she's like sticking up for them, like, hey, don't target Vivek, don't target Todd, you should target these other people that I'm not in a side with. And so, like, if you want to point to, like, where did Donna go wrong, like, that's probably the bulk of it. And then there's a bunch of other stuff, like fist bumping and flirting and, you know, tenor of conversation and relationships that existed within the Women's Alliance, and all kinds of other stuff there, including the fact that Donna's pitching for Anthony to go up on the block, which I believe happened before we saw it in the episode. That was the second time it happened.
Okay, that is good to know, because I was like, this was like a done deal. Literally, this is irrelevant now if like they're going to try to blame it on that, because that to me makes sense that Anthony would have heard his name and been like, oh, absolutely not. This is no, we're done with Donna. Mm-hmm. And then Donna goes home. But like, I wasn't sure about that order.
Yeah, I to my memory, there was a conversation that Donna had with Spicy early in the morning, the same day that Spicy eventually decided to target Donna. She was really annoyed about it. She's like, she came to me, I just woke up, she was talking to me, she was telling me I need to target Anthony. And then later that day, she had the conversation in the pool room, where Avery had just seen Donna talking with Vivek. And that's when they were like, okay, it has to be Donna. And so like, there was a lot of that. And of course, Anthony eventually finds out that his name was being thrown around, but it's a lot, and it's quite the move, Scally. It's quite the bold, I maybe would even say audacious move.
There we go. Yeah. If it was in my vocabulary regularly, I might also say, I will say that, you know, Victoria says like, they have no idea what they're dealing with. Like, hard to know when I'm not sure you know what you're also dealing with from moment to moment. Like, how would they predict your next move? It is definitely a blindside. I mean, as Donna is like ending the episode saying like, I would, not only was she never coming for her, like she would have done anything for her game, which I don't know if it's like necessarily true that she's yet like throwing it away for Victoria, but it feels like there were definitely other moves on the table that would have been available.
That, I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that even following through the, okay, Donna's going to be targeting Anthony. Cool. Donna's not as tight, potentially. Donna has other side choices. The reality is, if Donna had one power, you'd be safe. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that you're working with would have been safe. Maybe Anthony wouldn't have been. That's fine. Let her put Anthony up. He probably survives because he's got y'all and he'll go after her. And that's perfect scenario mm-hmm. for you to just ease by. This was so unnecessary mm-hmm. and it is so messy. And it feels like good TV for good TV's sake. So I'm not mad at it. But I also have to say, I don't want to, you know, pull on the draft thing too much, Taryn. But can my team stop getting put up on the goddamn block as targets? Because now goddamn Dennis won two vetoes. Vivek's on the block. Donna's on the way out. He's probably up next. Like, what did I do wrong?
How did they go from one of your draft to another this week?
Yeah.
The target.
Yeah. And I lost Janine last week. So I'm living life.
You started with the most amount of actual people.
I did. It was me and you. And I had most before the premiere.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm going to be down to, anyway, maybe not two, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, regardless of how you feel about Donna, regardless of like this side alliance, like I made as good a case as I could for like why, you know, again, like if you want to say this is where Donna messed up and this is mm-hmm. why it might have happened for game reasons, like it's, I think, primarily down to the East Coast Alliance thing. But the thing about that is that the East Coast Alliance consisted of Donna, Bailey, Todd, and Vivek. So if you're worried about the East Coast Alliance and you're targeting Vivek, you don't exactly need to change your target to a different person in the East Coast Alliance. It's just
who is also in an alliance with you.
Like there's two of those people that are working with you, Bailey and Donna, two of them that are not. You've already convinced the entire house to take out the one of the ones that you're not. Everyone's on board. You've already weakened that alliance. Bailey and Donna are not mad at you for doing the move. Everything is working out fine. And on top of that, you're starting to see, oh, Dennis, one of the best competitors in the house right now, is starting to get tighter with Vivek. Like that's a budding relationship that would be cut off as well. And then does Dennis go to the remaining East Coasters? Probably not. I mean, he doesn't seem to have as good a relationship with them. Like he's more of a free agent at that point. Like there's a lot of reasons for why you'd want to stick with Vivek here. But I think that maybe part of it is that, you know, she did feel like, hey, I've got Vivek now. He pledged his allegiance to me.
Which is fair.
He kneeled.
He sure. did. He
bent
kneeled
the knee.
Down. Yeah. But yeah. The problem with that is that, like, of course he did.
Yeah.
What else was he going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's like, you can say that someone's a house target and they might make a nice, like, shield in front of you next week. But, like, that target sometimes goes away once they are viewed as, like, a house pariah. They become mm-hmm. not as threatening anymore.
Taylor but, Hale.
There we go. But mm-hmm. even... if you are thinking that and you think that, okay, Vivek has thrown himself at my feet and I have him, Todd exists. Let's go for Todd. Why not him?
Todd exists. He's there. He's in the room. Like, you're not aligned with him.
He's the other half of the fist bump you're so mad about.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I have to say, and like, you know, what you were alluding to, Taryn, in the Daily Drop, some stuff that they're cutting around. I have no idea really what you're talking about. So I don't want to like make broad strokes. But like Spicy V literally said in the episode to camera, like, I hate that two women have gone home so far. And one of them's on my HOH. And girl, you are the reason both of these women went home. You, solely you. I'm sorry. That's what's going on. And I understand why she's expressing regret. Like, it sounds like she's like, oh, crap. This is not good that I did this. But, like, she did.
And when you have Victoria being like, oh, my God, but Bailey's going to come after me. She's going to be so mad. And Anthony's like, don't worry. She's also going home next. Like, oh, no.
Oh boy. So the other thing that really struck me was that she didn't even bring Vivek and Dennis in on the plan. Like once Dennis won, she was like, you got to use it. And he eventually agrees, even though he was always going to, but she didn't tell either of them what she planned to do. She told Dennis, or she told Vivek, I'm saving you. And he was so grateful, he pledged his allegiance, but she didn't tell him who the target was. I can tell you that on the drop in that conversation, he thought it was Anthony for a while. Most people did. Because he was like, well, Anthony's the one that ratted me out. Now that I know it's Anthony, hopefully Anthony's a big target that we can go after. Or if not, like, you know, somebody, Ola or whoever. And he was a little bit worried that it might be Dennis. So he told Dennis, you got to win, not me, so that you can save me and we'll both be safe. Part of why Dennis went for it so hard. But Vivek is good with Donna. He said to Spicy in the conversation where he pledged allegiance, you, Donna, and Dennis are like my three people in the game. And she was like, don't worry, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to save you and put up a different target. And then blindsided him and Dennis both with Donna as the target. Like, she spent all this time getting everyone on board with, or at least okay with, Vivek being the target. And then after changing her mind, just kind of like let it hang out there. So now what are Dennis and Vivek to think about this move and their inclusion in it and the fact that they were essentially used to do this?
Okay. Like, I also have to say about Dennis, what are you doing in a conversation with the HOH where you say, I'm going to use it. Don't tell me who you're going to put up. It's better for me. What are you doing? What's happening here? You're in the DR saying, this is great. I want to win. So I have agency. So I learn things. So I'm in the game moves. And then you have no discussion. You just walk in. You say, I have chosen to use it. Now, goodbye. I don't want to hear anything. What on earth is going on?
It's so funny. Because even like we said, like, okay, I understand the whole point. We shifted the whole House target onto Vivek. And so like you can take blame off of yourself. And I think that that instinct carries into her speech where we are saying, me and a big group of people have all decided that we need to do this. And it's like, what group of people? I'm not involved in this very clearly. Even if you're telling me that like, oh, we're good. We're working together this week. We're making these decisions. Like, no, we're not. You just admitted in front of the house that we're not, because I don't know about this group of people.
So something that I think the episodes didn't do a great job of showing was that the other women in Hotter Chocolate, Lexis, Avery, and Kayla, were all pushing for the Donna move as well.
Yeah.
And in some ways, perhaps even more so than Spicy herself, they really wanted it to happen, all for like their own kind of reasons. Obviously, Lexis and Donna have had their own thing. But the problem with that is that the only reason they've had their own thing is because Spicy started it for no reason. And then Avery saw the thing with Vivek and the handshake stuff and the hugs. And she wasn't happy about the East Coast thing. And Kayla in general both Avery and Kayla in general have like not appreciated certain behaviors. I don't know exactly what those behaviors are because I think this is part of what's being cut around. So something that I noticed from the drops is that and no spoilers here yet, but like the drop for post veto ceremony, the big conversation after the veto ceremony was cut from the drops. We got post conversation stuff where they were kind of talking vaguely around a certain topic. At one point, Bailey says something along the lines of, you know, I didn't even realize what it looked like for the two girls that looked the same to be hanging out all the time together. Kind of seemingly implying like the two white girls were together. And like that had been a topic of discussion. And so obviously Big Brother Canada, there's a reason why they got rid of live feeds. They don't like conversations about race. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we did not see that conversation. I don't know how much bearing that had in the decision, because obviously they're going to cut away from it anytime it happens. And we just happened to get a glimpse of a little bit of those conversations in this drop, but it could have been happening for a while and we didn't just never saw it. So who knows, but there might be more to it. The way that Avery and Kayla were talking about Donna's behavior, they seemed like fairly upset by it, but I don't know if it was tied to those previous conversations or it was just the regular annoyance that they were expressing in other conversations. It's hard to say. It's being hidden.
They didn't say any specifics about what the behavior was.
I mean, there had been previous examples, like, and they brought up some examples like, oh, in that conversation, Donna kept talking over us. And that was very frustrating. Okay. But like, you know, what were they saying in that conversation that they were being talked over about? Right. And it's like, and there were other situations where they were like, oh, we don't like the way that Donna like acted in this room or toward this guy sometimes. And it's like, you know, it's really, given the information we have, impossible to say exactly pinpoint exactly what the issue is. But I guess the point is, the reason we can't pinpoint it is because it's being hidden from us intentionally.
I was going to say that in the episode, like, you get the vibe that Bailey and Donna are much closer with Spicy V than they are with Lexis, Kayla, and Avery. Like, you get that vibe, definitely. And that is just sort of why I was like, this girls' alliance is going to implode very soon. You know, this is not going to be a thing for much longer. But like, Spicy, while you are HOH and like Donna and Bailey are coming to you very clearly with you, you know, this might not be the moment for you to go after Donna, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. A weird thing about the way that they portrayed this as well in the episode where, like, again, like Donna goes to V seemingly right before the veto ceremony and is pitching Anthony, is that in reality, from what we saw in the drops, Donna had actually given up on the Anthony backdoor plan that day, and had been talking to Bailey. They were in the HOH together. Like, Donna was like, I realized we have a much better play. It's, we don't want Anthony to go home this week because Dennis will get all the credit for taking out Anthony because he won the veto. He's using it. So we're going to manipulate Dennis into not using the veto to take out Anthony this week so that we can do it ourselves next week for our resume. We're so smart. And there was like a lot of that, like a lot of like famous last words moments on the drops with these two. It, like, I felt bad for them. It was not great.
Yeah. This has been a wild roller coaster for 2 weeks in. And Maggie, to your point of, looks like Bailey and Donna are closer to Spicy V than the other girls, I would say that's the entire crux of why the Girls Alliance isn't or hasn't been working, is because at the very center is Victoria Spicy V, who just changes her tune a day at a time and just flips and switches around or goes, I'm going to gaslight these two into hating each other for what seems to be no reason, for no reason. And this is the web she's in. This is where she is. Mind you, she's in a great spot for now, but everyone else is looking at each other.
Yeah. And it's hard because I say that, like, with Spicy V, obviously, without, like, with much of the context being cut out, whether it be this situation or many others, like, it's going to be unreliable. And then particularly in Big Brother Canada, in a show which there is going to probably be votes that influence the game at some point or another, that is going to be difficult to necessarily regulate for house guests. But with Victoria, we also do have the BB Can 9 feeds, so we can look back at that as well in terms of like her decision making.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. What fun. But if we're talking there's strategy.
A reason we're here tonight. Yeah. I don't want anyone to be confused. I'm not complaining about anything.
Me either. Me either.
No, it's a combination of I have my popcorn and I'm enjoying the entertainment, but then also my strategic brain side starts, you know, critiquing the game move. Because I'm like, horrible game move, excellent TV move, easily excellent TV game so far.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Donna did not, obviously, as we saw, did not know this was coming in any way. In fact, she later says that for basically the entire speech, she was convinced it was Anthony, whose name Spicy was going to say. Because she started it with, like, as an all-star. Like, I know what it takes to win the game. And this person is a perfect person, and this is going to be really hard for me. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. And in Donna's head, she's like, wow, she's going through with the Anthony move. And then it wasn't until they actually cut this part out, apparently, that Spicy was like, I'm sorry, Janine. Sorry, Canada. But Donna, you're the one going up. And it wasn't until she said, sorry, Janine, that Donna was like, wait. Why would you be sorry to Janine about Anthony?
Goodness. Sorry, Canada.
That's so tough. And she said, like, she's very proud that she didn't cry, but I also have enjoyed her walking around the house being like, no, I'm not ready to talk. No, I'm not ready to talk. Just like, I am really interested in when that conversation does happen and also makes episodes for how we are going to see it.
Yes. So for all that, you know, Vivek went through, he is now safe. Him and Dennis really lock themselves in as a duo here, which could obviously put a target on them, but also kind of puts them in a position of potential power, depending on who wins in the near future, as they could be seen, you know, they are kind of seen as a duo that has nobody else. They're like, they're an isolated duo who are capable of winning competitions. So if you are somebody in need of numbers, they're a great option. Mm-hmm. So that's something to watch out for. This is definitely a huge boon for Vivek's game, even beyond just the fact that he is now safe. The fact that Spicy made this move not only gives him more information about the house and the game, but also kind of like distracts from everything else. Like if he had just won the veto himself and taken himself off and, you know, Todd or whoever went up on the block as a replacement, then the paradigm of him being the outcast wouldn't have changed. But now a lot of things are changing and it really does breathe new life into Vivek's game, potentially.
Cross the fingers on that one. Yeah, it certainly couldn't get as bad as it did this week, right? Yeah. He's on the floor. It can only go up from here.
Yeah, everybody publicly in a competition going after him to immediately make him be the first one.
Practically out. Spat in his face by spitting into his tube, right? Like literally in the pits. Also, you know, we talked at length about that competition and I said, not that gross. It is gross once they zoom in on the tube and you see the floaty bits. And I was like, you didn't need to zoom into this. You didn't need to do that. So I think I retract my statement. I don't think I'm into it.
I don't think you needed to describe it. I wasn't paying close enough attention. And now it's in my head.
We're here to talk about all the episodes, right? I got to reference it.
Can we talk about Dimitri and how he hasn't aged a day in 7 years?
Honestly, I had a moment where I was like, oh yeah, Dimitri, what season? Season 5? I was like, oh my God, it's been 7 years. Like, I genuinely forgot. You could have told me it was BB Can 9. I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. He looks the same. Absolute same.
He looks 23.
Yeah.
fun to see Dimitri. The competition was fine.
It was okay.
You know, I never love the competitions. So yeah. I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
I like that because in the preseason, we did have Dennis talk about how he's not really a comp beast, maybe a puzzle beast. And this was a hybrid comp and he beasted both sections of it.
Also, Avery did make me laugh in the competition when she was like, I'm not worried about this puzzle. I worked in an escape room for 5 years. I was like, all right, good on you. What a skill set. You know, I was. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm curious, because if you work at an escape room, right, you're either like part of the designing of the room people or you're we just have to put the pieces back at the starting point, right?
That was exactly what I said on stream.
I was like, if you're resetting, like this ain't resetting. You got to solve it.
Yeah. Or you work the front desk. Like there's many jobs at an escape room. Yeah.
Like if I was working in an escape room, I'd be in charge of the chalkboard. They'd be like, all right, write this person. They broke the record. It's this team. What are your team name? All right. Team Hell of a Fun Time. All right, cool. Team Hell of a Fun Time. 51 minutes, 40 seconds. Like that would be my job. I don't think I'd be in the game design department. Mm-hmm.
There was one thing. I assume that there was a rule here that I think was a good rule. They were not leaning over their stairs to drop their cubes. They were all on their elbows at the top of the stairs. I would presume and hope that was a rule for the sake of fairness. Everyone has to drop from the same spot, unlike other countries. Versions of this kind of competition where if you are like if you've got like a 6'5" wingspan, you're dropping about like 5 feet lower than
your feet are hanging from the edge and your body's like practically in the square box already.
Yes.
I don't remember anything like that happening very recently.
Never. No. Yeah. No, of course not. Anything else from the episode, or should we get to some of the fallout from this, from the drops and spoilers?
Wow. I can't believe Spoilers. We're skipping right past the no man's.
Sally, you want to talk about it, Sally?
You said it. Yeah.
The
juicy, juicy Lexus and Matthew scenes that were teased.
I was about to joke and be like, Sally, what's his name? Because Scally keeps mixing the names up and has been asking for clarification.
I studied.
Is there ship name Mexis?
Mexis or yeah, that's the
can't be
that's
lat.
The better one,
you know.
Lat? No,
doesn't work.
Yeah,
gym equipment. Yeah, no.
Exactly. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I can't think of anything else. I don't think Lexmas works. That's too. You're getting too tricky with it.
Yeah,
you can't just stick an M in the middle.
No, know? No. Yeah, it's Mexis.
Mexis. I made this call while watching the episode. I think that if, say, this move is the thing that like sinks both Doggy and Spicy V somehow, and there's an ensuing war, I think Mexis runs the game. I think they pick up the pieces. I think the two of them together win a bunch of comps. I think that they like run with the rest of the former directors. I think watch out for them.
Okay. Frankly,
with the lack of live feeds, you could tell me literally anything. And I'd be like, yes, Aaron, I so believe it.
No, I have to say, I was sitting here like, yeah, lots of shots of them under, like sitting on a couch with their legs draped over each other. They seem like the strategic threats of the season. But again, lack of live feeds. I don't know.
I mean, it's, you know, the Luigi meme, like other people going at it. These two are just chilling on the will they won't they island until it's down to final eight. They each win a pair of comps. And next thing you know, yeah, they're final four, they're final three, they're final two. And we're sitting here talking about Matthew as the winner of BB Can 12.
I mean, I got to say, if I'm Goose and I walk into a room and like Lexis has her feet on Matt's lap and he's like kind of cuddling the feet, you know, and Matt is like, come in. We totally want you to come in. I know I'm not wanted. I'll leave.
Yeah, anyone that's had roommates or lived in the dorms knows exactly what that tone was. That was a come in, collect the things you needed and walk out again. But yeah. Not for Goose. Like, all right, cool. You want me here? Sick. I'll sit down.
I have a question about Kayla, because we have like not seen her as much on the episodes. She's not really being mentioned, but not in a way where she's irrelevant. Like, she still is very much a part of the strategic conversations that are going on. And I have a question about her positioning, like where you think she is, because you're talking about Mexis, and I actually would say Kayla would be my pick for the person who can pick up the pieces and go running. No,
I mean, I agree. I think in general, obviously, like the hot chocolate in general, I think is still prime. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the reason I'm you know, kind of going on a limb and just pinpointing Lexis is that she has Matt locked in. Showmans do well. Matt's like probably the most physical guy there, outside of perhaps Anthony, but Anthony's maybe a little too big for some of the competitions, and Anthony might be gone if what I'm talking about is coming into play. So then it's like, we already know that Lexis has won an endurance competition before. We know that Matt's really physical. We know that competitions get really physical these days. The two of them together as a pair, Lex is protecting Matt via her connection to the remainder of Hot Chocolate. Matt still probably being like good with the guys if Anthony's not there. Like, there's a lot of reason for why they might stick around and then start winning a bunch of comps. But I do think that like Kayla and Avery will still probably be fine even if they lose Spicy. In fact, they might even be better off if they lose Spicy to some degree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm mostly looking at just like, given the way that these shows, these seasons have played out recently, it's like, who's just going to start winning the comps down the road? And the two of them together just seem like such a deadly pair. But who knows? Yeah. All right, let's talk about some spoilers, because there is some stuff to talk about from the fallout of this move and where things might go with the rest of the week and the vote. So let's do it.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, there's not like a lot of other stuff to talk about, obviously. You know, anything we're talking about post ceremony, we obviously want to give you a little bit of a spoiler warning. I thought the funniest thing that happened was that in the conversation that Spicy had with Bailey, where, because obviously Bailey feels very upset about feeling blindsided, betrayed, lied to. And so the women are all trying to kind of like, number one, justify the decision that they were all in on. Spicy, before the ceremony, went to Avery and Kayla and Lex. Was like, you guys have to like back me up on this. I can't take this one on my own. Like, you have to support the decision and like talk to them for me. And they're like, of course, of course. And so they did. And then Spicy V went to Bailey and said, I didn't even want to do this. It was, they had to convince me. And I don't want to say like that I was manipulated, but it kind of felt like I was manipulated into doing it.
Girl.
Yeah. Obviously there is this like full court press on Bailey right now. And I also don't really necessarily trust every diary room. So I really want to see Bailey's, like, I would love a Bailey cam talk. Like, what are you thinking right now? Do you believe this? Because it seems as if in most of these conversations, you know, she's doing the right thing and nodding along and like, yeah, I get it. I understand. Like, I'm going to go along with this. But where is Bailey's head really at?
I think the problem for Bailey is that she, from get-go, was absolutely all in on the women. Like, no cards were left anywhere. No chips were anywhere else. She said multiple times, I'm ride or die for the women. If I go home doing that, so be it. I'm not going to look like an idiot. I'm not going to be the one that messes up the Women's Alliance. And in some ways, because of that, a lot of the other relationships in the house have kind of not been as solid for her. And so with this move, she's not only devastated because the people she went all in on have now betrayed her, lied to her, but also, where else does she really have to go? She has another very awkward conversation with Anthony on the job today. Like, that's not really a viable option for her.
No.
She just had the fight with Vivek. They obviously don't trust each other. Where you can't go to Goose or Matt, they're with Anthony and Spicy. You can't go, like, it's real. Like, there's nowhere, like, with Todd, with Donna gone, maybe.
Sure.
But like,
what a pick.
Right. You're just like chilling with Todd. Like, that's not good. You need to be numbers. So, like, obviously, she has to just kind of go crawling back. Like, she doesn't really have an option right now.
All other seats are taken at this
point. I don't know. The way you were saying at first, I was like, she's all in on the girl. She has no other options. She's just like me. But now knowing that, I'd be like, okay, now I'm also petty. So I understand that maybe she doesn't have any other options. But like, I've seen Bailey give it to people on the live feeds. Like, oh. I would not be surprised if like that is, because there are people who like I'm going to have arguments with and then like, you're not mad about that, right? Like, and then move on and like, okay, we could still like figure this out. I'm now mad at them. So I'm no longer mad at you. And like, I could see her like trying to pick up the pieces or someone in her position trying to pick up the pieces. But I just don't know that she is actually figuring that out.
I also do think I've really been enjoying Bailey so far in the show from an entertainment perspective. She's been sort of like my underdog, like rooting for her. I think she's feisty and fun. And I could see a world like she's not like, you're right. She did go all in on the women and cut off her options. But I don't think that she's like naive about the game. And I absolutely think that there's a world where she could be like, hey, Vivek, we got played by V, obviously. Like, let's get back together. This, we were completely pitted against each other. You know what I mean? So I do see that there could be some type of reparation there, and then maybe they can build from there. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that like it would require probably one of Vivek, Dennis, or her like winning an HOH for them to have like the safety to do that. Because if she went to them now, they're just all targets now. You know, like this is not really. So yeah, it is, it's tricky to know like where things actually stand. And I say that because like, it's a similar spot to where Vivek was to some degree, where like, Spicy was like just cornering Vivek, forcing him to admit things and then ratting him out and then claiming that she didn't do that and like putting him in this terrible spot. And I was saying like, there's nothing he can really do about it. She's HOH. Like, even if he clears his name, that just makes her more mad at him. And so he didn't do anything about it. He just let her do it. And that worked for him because she was like, oh, yeah, I can do whatever I want with you. But now that he's safe, things are a little different. And the same could be true of Bailey, who recognizes that right now I still need the women, or at the very least, I need the women that lied to me. But maybe down when I have more options, I'm going to remember this and I'm going to think about my own options moving forward. Who knows? I think she's still relatively committed to them. Because I do think she still genuinely feels like I don't want to let the men steamroll us. Which is also like still very fair. Again, especially considering the way that competitions have played out. Like, it's a very real fear to be like, if like zero men have left yet and men win like 80% of the comps, like what are we gonna do? Like they were going after men left and right at the start of last season. It still didn't work. Still had one that that stayed and won every comp. So yeah, it's like, where does this go? But back to the Vivek point, now that that Vivek is out from under like the shoe of Spicy V, he's starting to think again. Right? And a lot of people were saying for a while, like, oh, this is terrible for Spicy, great for Anthony, because Spicy's cutting at her own power structure, helping protect Anthony because Donna's going after Anthony, which to some degree is true. It's helpful that she's cutting away at her own power structure. It weakens her in the war against Anthony that is eventually going to come, we assume. But I have more of an issue with it than that for Anthony. And that's the fact that one of the key things that I talked about, I think on Wednesday, maybe Friday, in terms of the position that both Anthony and Spicy have in the game, is that they're so locked in and safe because the only way that one of them leaves is if they go up on the block together. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the house was even coming close to thinking of doing that. People like Donna and Bailey and even Vivek and even Dennis, if they ever thought about targeting Anthony, it was Anthony and Matt on the block, Anthony and Tola on the block, people that he would easily stay against. And if you ever thought about targeting Spicy V, you would probably put her up next to Lexus, or sorry, like Avery, or like, you know, one of the other women, in which case she'd probably pretty easily stay over those people. But now, Dennis and Vivek are like, hold on. Like, she just made this massive play to take out Donna. She's been trying to get us into an alliance, which is something we haven't talked about, but Spicy was like, hey, now that I'm saving you, I want to pull you and Dennis into an alliance. And they were happy about it until they realized that she was screwing them over with her target, Donna. And so then they got blindsided with that. They were like, why didn't she go after Dougie? Like, what is happening? She's working with him, right? Like, it has to be that. Like, it doesn't make any other sense any other way. And if they're starting to realize this, and they're two people who are capable of winning competitions, and they think we need to take a big shot, and the only way to make sure it lands is to make sure both of them are on the block, all of a sudden, the whole castle can crumble just like that. And that's why I feel like this was better for Spicy V if Vivek just left. It was also still way better for Anthony, I think, if Vivek just left. Because if that had happened, the status quo would not have changed. Nobody would have been thinking about Spicy V and Anthony together. They were doing and I also just very briefly want to say, a lot of people have been giving the house guests some crap, and rightfully so. Like, how could you not assume that they're working together?
Yes. Duh!
I'll give Spicy V and Anthony some flowers here. They have done a good job of separating themselves and making themselves seem like they're not working together. Spicy V in particular, like, just trash talks Anthony all the time. to the point where, like, you really wouldn't think that they're working together. But they're returning players. You should still assume it. You should still keep it in your mind. But there is a reason. They're not that out of the loop. But this is bad. This is bad for the both of them that Vivek and Dennis are thinking this way. And if they hold on to that thought, and if they win power, all of a sudden the entire house flips.
That is the outcome I'm going to be rooting for the most, is that one of them gets the power, because I would like to see it. I would like to see if they'll go through with it, if they'll get snowed and misted by then, which is entirely possible as well. I'm not willing to give them a pass that they're going to successfully get it done. But that's the point, Taryn, right? The fact that they've done a good job of seeming like they're apart, so much so that they've been able to lay down so many foundations where they're safe. But also, unless you're putting two people in that house that were on the same season and both rivals, and by rivals, I mean like they hated each other, I'm always going to assume you're working together. Even then, I'd be like, well, there's only two of them. Of course, they're going to come in and not try and get each other out, because they know it's bad for each other. They should stick together. I feel like it's unfortunate, because I feel like every time we have a season like this where it's a couple of experienced players and everyone else is new, you'll never truly know how and what level the new players would get to, because they're only going to get as far as these returnees are going to let them, as far as game reach. Like, we've seen Vivek have some good moments of like flash of ideas of things to do. They're about to clip the guy's wings immediately, and he's the dummy that went out second, you know? So you're not really ever going to see anyone's potential like that, which is why I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, nah, all the rookies suck this year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of them could be incredible. We're just not going to know in this landscape at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to find that out, because like, okay, maybe the returnees are not like, you know, not every person on here is a super fan. And so like, maybe they don't know just how incredible like the returnees are. I mean, Anthony has reminded a couple of them in a couple of times, maybe just I was part of the best alliance of all time. I made it to the end, blah, 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 blah. But what do they do with that? And so far, I haven't seen anything.
Well, he keeps saying that too, you know, like Anthony is the biggest fan of Anthony, which obviously I think you should always big yourself up like that, build your confidence up. But also, he's basically reminding you all, you should get rid of me. You should get rid of me. I'm part of one of the most successful business like things ever in the Big Brother house. Speaking of what Scally said about Petty, though, and I would never do this in a game where there's money on the line and I could win. But the petty part of me, the intrusive thoughts would have kicked in to be like, eh, your season was kind of mid. You know, like just kind of like throw some subtle jab shade in there just to see how he'd react. I would never do it, but I like thinking about it from time to time.
Oh, he would definitely target you, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your season like, was kind of mid.
And I think he would have like an actual reason too. He'd be like, the fact that this person didn't like my season means they like chaos. They like big moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good for me. And then he'd be like, and that's why we need them to go.
But here's the thing.
Oh my gosh, his brain is so.
Anthony's targeting me anyway. Like, let's go all in.
No, that's exactly how I feel too. Like, mouthy girl who's going to be like, you are so smart. Like, come on. Come on, I'm out of there immediately.
So really, I mean, I think the problem for both Anthony and Spicy with this move is that, you know, Anthony in particular put in a lot of groundwork to make Vivek the house consensus target. There was no, his fingerprints were not on that move. He was prepared for it. Spicy V did her own preparation for it. And as messy as it was, it worked. And, you know, she wasn't the sole person attached to that move. But with this quick like sidestep change of plans, Anthony is not prepared for this. And even though he had very little to do with this move, it appears as though he really benefits from it, which makes it seem like he's putting work into it. So in a weird way, the fact that Anthony wasn't involved in this is worse for him, because he doesn't know that he needs to be doing the work to make it seem like his hands are not in this.
I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. I am so curious to know Anthony's thoughts on Spicy V. Like, that I do think is one of the things I'm missing the most right now without these feeds. Of course, like, I want to watch her work, and I want to watch her chaos reign supreme. But I would love to try to follow the pieces to, like, figure out what Anthony is really thinking right now about her and the way that she plays the game and the moves she's making.
Based on what we've seen in the drops, he really has not seen a lot of the more chaotic elements of her game so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because she's intentionally hiding those elements from him. But I think that, like, you know, when I think to season 7, he was the glue that kept things together, that kept things running smoothly. But it was also like it was Dane often letting Anthony know, like, hey, here's a greasy wheel that needs to be, you know, ungreased, degreased. Like he was like, hey, Adam's freaking out. And then Anthony would go in and fix it. But, you know, thinking about it now, thinking about the current situation, like I'm wondering, would Anthony have noticed that that wheel needed to be degreased, if not for Dane letting him know that. And so like when you think about his current alliance, like, well, currently Avery, Kayla and Lexis, they're not really telling Anthony like, hey, Spicy V is kind of running off the tracks here. In part because I think they're with her to a degree. Mm-hmm. Like they're not only loyal to her, but they're agreeing with this decision.
And they don't know that the reason that Lexis and Donna were going at it was because of like, they don't know,
right?
You know?
So it's interesting. We'll see where it goes. I think last thing, at least important thing to talk about here is that, you know, we're talking about this move. We're talking about why it's bad. We're talking about like, you know, we're talking about a post Donna world. But what if she doesn't leave? Does she have a chance? Because obviously Spicy V is still very conflicted and she's telling Bailey, she's telling Donna, it's not the end yet. We could still make this work. Now, she's lying to them to some degree. She's like, I was going to nominate Tola like right up until right before and stuff like that. So she's still lying, just like she might be lying to us in the diary room about like, oh, I might not do it. But she clearly was very conflicted. She clearly, I think, is feeling like, you know, this is Spicy V. And the fact that she even just did this in the first place means that if she's like, could we save Donna this week?
Oh, we could, couldn't we?
It's possible, right? It's not out of the realm of possibility. especially when you consider that Donna already has some votes that she could probably count on. Like, for sure, Todd. Bailey said, I will vote for you no matter what. And you have Dennis and Vivek, who would both probably be willing. That's four. They need six, which means they do need the women because Anthony, Matt, Tola, a bunch of them, they're probably not flipping. So you kind of need Lexis, Avery, Kayla. They're probably coming as a package deal. Can you get the three of them? Well, you might have Spicy V. Kayla, initially, now this is worth noting, initially post veto ceremony, Kayla was one of the most adamant people. This was a good decision. We cannot work with Donna. She does need to go. However, by the next day, it seemed, she was, at least when talking to Donna herself, a lot more open to the idea of maybe changing her mind, keeping Donna. Now, she didn't say anything about this privately, as far as I'm aware, to Spicy or any of the other women. So it might have just been for the sake of keeping things peaceful with Donna and them. But it seems as though, at the very least, she is somewhat open to the idea. So if both Spicy and Kayla are maybe open to this, the possibility really does exist. I do think that Lexis is going to be a bit harder because she's, you know, tied to Matt, who's definitely not going to want this, especially when he's tied to Anthony. And then Anthony's not going to be down for it, I would assume. And it breaks up the directors. It's a terrible move. I mean, they should absolutely not do it. Like, I don't care how loyal Donna might be to the women moving forward. She's going to remember this. Like, she's going to have Todd. She's going to be working with Vivek and Dennis. Mm-hmm. And like, you give her way too much power if you keep her and you break up your own alliance structure. It's a terrible move. But that doesn't mean they might not do it. The biggest hurdle right now seems to be Avery, but I also think she's the most easily swayed if like Spicy really pushes her. Avery was basically telling Bailey, like, there's no way he has to go. Avery really did not like, again, the way that Donna was treating them. But again, it's absolutely not impossible. That we could see Donna stay, which would be an even more wild game choice than nominating her in the first place.
Yeah. But hey. I mean, to go from two targets to having the pawn go home. Now, I really quickly want to ask, because obviously he's in the directors, but specifically, who has their game more enhanced with Goose being there? Like, who is the closest to Goose? Who is Goose the biggest asset to as an individual?
Honestly, couldn't tell you.
Okay. I could do with the Goose departure. I'm not going to lie. I will say, Taryn, we talked about, well, I wonder what Anthony thinks of Victoria so far. I went ahead. I was like trying to do my deep research here to see which episode and if we had Anthony on during BB Can 9 to talk Big Brother with us. And you and Asia and Anthony talked about episode 10, March 24th. And I looked it up. This was the week before the Invisible HOH. So 1 week off, but it's an hour 20. I imagine he spoke about Spicy V in there a little bit. We can check that out maybe and see. That'll be a fun little side thought project.
Are they friends though? Like, do they hang out outside of the game? I think since she was in the house that they've been at like events and things together.
She has a YouTube channel where she's interviewed a lot of alumni. I wonder if she interviewed him. I'd have to look it up. They
specifically did not use a clip of her interviewing him, I remember, but I wonder if that interview does exist. They would just avoid that. I could see it. I don't know. Look, when Viva came off of the block, I was like, all right, sorry, Donna, but like, I think this actually might be a little bit more interesting for the game. Now, if you're telling me that Donna might also stay, and, you know, it's been said, but like, is the goose good for the gander being the audience? Not necessarily. So I'm okay with this happening.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't talked a lot about Goose, but like, he volunteered to go up as a pawn. And then they didn't even show this. As far as the dailies are concerned, Goose was actually the first person to bring up the idea of backdooring somebody and got the idea in the heads of the other women who then were like, yeah, Donna. Like he wanted it to happen. And then we were shown in the episode that like Spicy, you talked to him about potentially changing your mind and going back to the original plan. And I'm just like, dude, why? Like, you don't want a big move like this being made while you're on the block where the paradigm shifts, like where everything's changing and like emotions are going to be running. Like, that's not where you want to be on the block. You want to be on the block when it's the most boring, safe week ever. And everyone has agreed that Vivek's going home. Why are you suggesting a back door? Like, especially agreeing to one where Vivek comes off and not you. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And in the episode, he's like, I'm going to win so much social credit for going on the block for my alliance. And it's like, no. No, please, if you're watching this podcast, if you're somehow watching Big Brother Canada 12 and you're watching this podcast, you do not get social credit for going on the block as a pawn or from your alliance. Because like you, I think the way you think of it is at the start of the week, you're like, I'm doing a big favor for all of these people. The problem is that they might feel that way that day, but a week later, you've been on the block for a week and they have been standing up for you, making sure that you're safe, voting to keep you. So by the end of the week, they feel like you owe them for protecting you on the block and you lose power in the game. Like it's just, it's bad overall. It's bad for you in the alliance. It's bad for you out of the alliance. There's a reason Taylor fought hard to get out of that position when she was that person for her alliance. And hey, it worked for her. Do not be this person. You don't want to be this person.
No.
You don't get credit. It's not good for your game. Don't go on the block.
Yeah. And especially if you're very complacent with it, all it does is remind them, okay, you're willing to do this, huh? Well, I'll make you do this again in 2 weeks, man. You'll be cool with it because you're willing to do it. And if you suddenly say you're not, why? Do you not trust us? I thought you trusted us. What's going on? And now you're in this just unstoppable motion. Horrible move. Don't do it. Also, Anthony was not on Spicy V's YouTube.
Oh, episodes. Really?
Yeah, 54 all episodes. Right. He's not one of the episodes.
Well, maybe they really aren't that close. Like she says.
All right. Anything else to bring up before we wrap up here?
I will say this. And obviously we've talked a lot preseason, off season, beginning of season about the dailies or the drops versus the feeds. My new feeling about it is that the drops have kind of weeded out the very angry people almost a little bit.
Are you sure?
Listen, no. The thing is, people are either now completely apathetic to the show or they're keeping up and like watching what we're watching. But I feel like there's been a lot less anger, maybe just because like the engagement's lower and I don't see it. So that's brutal. But Taryn, we talked last week and we joked about, hey, listen, why don't you make like BBU can give us timestamps?
Yes.
What do we have now? Were they listening?
It might have been listening because it happened like pretty soon after.
I know. Our impact. If only we were asking for other stuff.
The timestamps are good. Like genuinely, they pretty significantly improve the quality.
Oh, yeah.
To like place you. I don't know. I feel like I don't know if they've always been accurate. I feel like I've been a little confused here or there. But but I definitely a big improvement for making the dailies work. You know, again, it's an improvement from like
maybe
two out of 100. But like it's nice. It's I appreciate whoever may have been listening and decided to throw those in.
Yeah. Look, they put lipstick on the pig and it's fine.
All right. Well, that is what we have for you tonight. We will be back tomorrow night to recap the eviction where Donna may or may not stay, given, you know, the current situation in the house. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode live after Survivor. I'll also be watching Survivor, so come and check it out. I'll be watching, marathoning both shows and then coming on the podcast to talk through it all. We will hopefully have some idea of, you know, what the HOH, maybe competition will be, or who knows. I'm sure it'll be some kind of cliffhanger, but maybe speculate on who might win it based on what it is. So we'll have all of that for you tomorrow night. And then I should also have another exit interview for you on Thursday. If you are interested in hearing me talk with either Donna or perhaps Goose. And then Friday, we'll be back to talk through, you know, update you on what we've seen in the daily drops to that point for the rest of this week. And that's about it. Stay tuned for it all. Maggie, what do you got going on?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok and Instagram and Threads at @MLMorgan_. I'm just talking about Big Brother Canada while it's on. Check me out there.
All right, Scally.
I am on Twitter at @Brian_Scally and Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. And I am also gearing up with Matt Liguori, working on the All Stars 4 preseason for the challenge. That season had been filmed, 14 months ago? It sat behind the scenes. So excited to finally be diving into what is a very anticipated season of the challenge.
All right. Booyah.
I can be found on Twitter at Puyaism, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. As far as podcasts go, brand new season of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After just began. I'll be talking to the man to my left, Scally, to talk about the premiere this week. So that'll be fun, but also I've been actively dreading the season, but we'll see how it goes. And then also The Masked Singer, Leon on our back. We've talked about the first two episodes. So far, so good. And we're going to draft the costumes after the episode 3. So check that out.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll see all of you tomorrow.